Anytime one business acquires another, there's going to be a possible issue of transfer of compensation experience, and that's important because normally a new employer starts off as a brand new entity with a clean slate. They have no chargebacks. They don't have an experience-rated tax rate, based on any kind of chargeback history. They get the new employer tax rate for effectively the first six calendar quarters of operation. That's 2.70%. It's set by statute. It's hardwired into the system. But sometimes a new entity can come into existence, and if they acquire another entity that has an existing experience rating, basically they've got compensation experience, there might be a transfer of compensation experience from the acquired entity to the acquiring entity, the predecessor to the successor. And there's an entire chapter of the labor code that deals with that. It's chapter 204. I believe it's subchapter E. But all of the statutes governing transfer of compensation experience are in there. And the long and the short of it is that if one entity acquires another and there is shared ownership or management at the officer level, there's probably going to be a really close look by our tax department at the issue of transferring the compensation experience from the predecessor to the successor. I don't want to sound like I'm, like prejudging cases or something like that. I hesitate to say it will happen. It usually happens, but it's something that should definitely be looked at. Why? The purchase price for the acquisition. That's something to definitely take into account. We've had several appeals by employers in Rule 13 tax appeal cases. Rule 13, that's the old designation back when there were only, it was Rule Number 13, literally, for unemployment insurance in the Texas Employment Commission. And then later on, with the emergence of the Texas Workforce Commission, so many programs transferred in. Now it's Chapter 815, Section 815.113, but the nickname has stuck, Rule 13. And that's not meant, by the way, to signify any odds or percentage of winning. But the fact is, it's lots of employers have contacted us saying, gosh, if we had just known in advance that there would be a transfer from the entity that we acquired, we would have done something different with the purchase. So take that into account. How do audits get started at my agency? And this is something that will affect every single person in this room who either owns or manages or represents an employer or a business entity that's registered as an employer with my agency. And we've got over 554,000 active employer accounts in the state of Texas, by the way, and we get more every single month. The number keeps going up. The economy is really, really growing in this state. Anyway, how do audits get started? Well, they get started in four main ways. The most unexpected way, it's kind of like the slap in the face way, being woken up in the morning with a cold bucket of ice water way, is if somebody has filed an unemployment claim and they haven't had wages reported for them, then they might be told that they're ineligible for benefits because the claim is disallowed. Why? They didn't have sufficient wages during the base period of the claim. So sometimes if that was done because of misclassification, instead of being an independent contractor, they should have been classified as an employee. The employee will file an appeal, a wage credit appeal, and they'll get a full hearing on that. So sometimes that's when audits happen. Also, tattletale letters from competitors or disgruntled folks out in the public. We always follow up on any report from the public. Random audits. The target amounts vary. When I started with the agency, we were doing 4% of all Texas businesses. Then, a couple of decades ago, it was down to 2%, and then now it's currently around 1%. But this is an audit target set by our oversight agency, the U.S. Department of Labor. They want our agency to audit for, state unemployment tax compliance about 1% of all Texas businesses every year. So that's a relatively small, odds of being selected for an audit, but it does happen. So random audits. And finally, program audits. Sometimes because of widespread reports of misclassification in an industry, reports will come in, and the agency trying to make the most responsible use out of its regulatory dollars will select a particular area or an industry for heightened scrutiny.